always enjoy Sean's magical video creations, don't you? Please take your Bibles this morning and turn to Genesis chapter 40 today as we continue our series going back to the beginning here. Genesis chapter 40. And in our scripture reading this morning, we find Joseph has been put in prison and being accused of impropriety with his master's wife. And he's been in there for quite some time in jail. We'll pick up our reading in verse 1 of Genesis 40. Here we read, "Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. The captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody, and one night they both dreamed. The cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with its own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, 'Why are your faces downcast today?' They said to him, 'We have had dreams, and there is no one to interpret them.' And Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me.' So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'In my dream there was a vine before me. And on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth and the clusters ripened into grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. Then Joseph said to him, 'This is its interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office. And you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me when it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the pit.' When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was favorable, he said to Joseph, 'I also had a dream. There were 3 cake baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, but the birds were eating it out of the basket on my head.' And Joseph answered and said, 'This is its interpretation. The 3 baskets are 3 days. And in 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up the head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief cupbearer did not remember Joseph, but forgot him." You ever felt like you've been forgotten? Ever felt like things are going the wrong way? Not going well for you? Perhaps you find out that the people running the house you've just purchased won't leave the house, and now the sheriff's department has to get involved in evicting them so you won't be able to move into your new home for another 30 days? Or you find out that the building you've been leasing for your business the past 10 years is going to be torn down and turned into a parking lot for the city, and now you either have to find a new place to rent for your business or buy a new building. Or you come out of a grocery store from picking up some groceries and discover that your car has just been totaled in the parking lot by a little old lady who probably shouldn't be driving anymore. Or after being hired as the new accountant for your company, you discover that the company is out of cash and needs to raise $500,000 within 2 months to stay in business, and everyone is looking at you to solve the problem. Or your wife calls you in tears, telling you that something's wrong with her pregnancy, and it seems likely that she's having another miscarriage. Or you discover that your dream house that you reluctantly had to rent out because of a job change has been destroyed by the landlords. They're making legal threats demanding that their entire security deposit be returned. Your daughter calls you from the Christian college she's attending in tears and tells you that her college roommate has decided that she is bisexual and wants to sleep with your daughter, and now your daughter doesn't know how to get out of a horrible situation. Or perhaps you leave everything for a new job across the world, making a 5-year commitment to work for them, only to find out that the opportunity doesn't have any resources to sustain you there. And after 2 years into it, you are forced to move home to find a new position. Or maybe you find out that all of a sudden your blood work comes back all messed up and something is terribly wrong and the doctors aren't sure what the problem is. All of us have experienced very difficult seasons in our life. In some cases, these seasons of difficulty can seem like an eternity. It's during these times that we can have a real sense of loss, abandonment, or even wasted opportunity. For some, these difficult years can provide a very bitter memory. And some of us are experiencing bitter years even right now as I speak. But as Christ followers, how can we overcome the bitter years that God allows into our lives for His purposes? There's so much we can learn from Joseph's life here in our study. Like Joseph, we can keep serving others even when we are hurting. We can keep trusting God even when we feel abandoned. We can keep acknowledging God no matter what we're going through. And we can keep waiting for God's perfect blessing. God just has not forgotten you. We've gone back to the beginning, to the book of Genesis. Way back in Genesis 37, we began the last major section of Genesis on the life of Joseph. In chapters 40 and 41, we enter a dream sequence here. Here we continue to see God's active work in Joseph's life as God is preparing him to serve and save his brothers from a coming great famine. It will be through Joseph that God's promised Redeemer is preserved through the seed that is in his brother Judah. Joseph had been sold into slavery by his brothers, and now Joseph finds himself in prison, having been accused of rape by his master's wife. He's now suffering from something he didn't do. And today we'll see 4 spiritual truths about how we can overcome the bitter years in our lives. We all go through times of difficulty. For some, the times of sorrow and hurt can seem relentless and unending, and yet God is still at work. He's still at work in our lives, no matter what our circumstances, and He wants to help you this morning to be an overcomer. Even when you face great difficulty and suffering, He wants to help us to be victorious in life, even in and through the bitter years that God sovereignly allows into our lives for His purposes. But before we study, we need to pray. Let's go to the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we desperately need Your help today as we study Your Word. We need help from You in this study. To hear Your truth, that we might be shaped, changed, molded, moved toward You by the power of Your Spirit through the hearing, the proclaiming of Your Word. Oh God, have Your way in our time together. Teach us, grow us, mature us, that we might see You. That we might see You afresh and anew this morning. Help us to not miss anything You have for us. We pray all this in Your Son's wonderful and awesome name this morning. Amen. If you have your sermon notes outlined with you, here's the first truth. What can we do to overcome the bitter years? First of all, you can serve. We can keep serving others even when we are hurting. Here we can keep ministering to others just as Joseph does. Look at verse 1. Sometime after this, the cupbearer of the king of Egypt and his baker committed an offense against their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was angry with his 2 officers, the chief cupbearer and the chief baker. And he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard appointed Joseph to be with them, and he attended them. They continued for some time in custody. Attended them. Well, what does that mean? Better translated, attended to them. The Hebrew root word here is sharath, that which means to serve, to wait on, to minister to attend to. He attended to them. He's caring for them. Even in the midst of his hurt, he's caring. When we are hurting and suffering, we usually don't feel like ministering to others, do we? Here in human terms, Joseph has a huge right to complain because of his circumstances. He was thrown into a pit by his brothers, sold into slavery to the Egyptians, falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife, and then thrown into prison. But even with all that, he chooses to take care of his fellow prisoners. This reminds me of the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus says of himself in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Years ago, I was at a men's retreat, and I was staying with one of my friends. We were up in Wisconsin at a camp. And me and some other guys, along with my friend, we're going to get up early and make breakfast for everybody for the retreat. And early in the morning, you know, the sun's not even up yet. Early in the morning, I start hearing these horrible noises in the bunk below me. I start hearing, and I'm like, somebody's dying down there. There's something wrong underneath my bunk. I'm like, what is going on? And I asked my friend, Ken, are you okay? And Ken goes, oh, this is how it is for me every morning. I'm like, what? Well, you see, I've got really bad arthritis. And he's a younger man. I was just amazed. He's in his 40s. And for me to even move my arm, it's excruciating. I said, Ken, I had no idea you're dealing with that. And if you knew Ken, you'd see him just kind of go, it's okay. You never know this man is suffering. And yet he gets up early to go and make breakfast for all these guys. He was more interested in serving more than he was concerned about his own pain. But that's not like us. We wrestle with that, you know, especially men. Men are horrible at being sick, right? Women, you know. Bad case of patheticness. But can we still serve even when we're hurting? Joseph's in jail for stuff he didn't do, and yet he attends to these guys. What else do we see? We can keep serving others even when we are hurting, and we can see the needs of others around us. Secondly, look what it says in verse 5. And one night they both dreamed, the cupbearer and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, each his own dream, and each dream with his own interpretation. When Joseph came to them in the morning, he saw that they were troubled. He's seeing that something's going on around him with these guys. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in custody in his master's house, why are your faces downcast today? He's noticing that people around him are having trouble. We too can see the needs of others around us. Oftentimes we are so focused on ourselves, we can't see the needs of others around us. Jesus constantly saw the needs of people around him. Even when Jesus was hurting, when he finds out about his dear relative, John the Baptist, being killed and his head put on a platter, and Jesus tries to get away from the crowds to go up and pray, and over again we see this phrase where when Jesus sees the crowds, he has compassion on them. Matthew 9:36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them. Why? Because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. I ask you, are you seeing the needs of those around you, even in your own family? We're often so busy wanting people to notice our countenance, our sad little faces, and our neediness that we take no notice of the countenance or needs of others around us. Thirdly here, we can keep pointing others to Christ. Notice how Joseph points these guys to God. Verse 8, and they said to him, we've had dreams and there's no one to interpret them. And Joseph throws in this little jewel here. He says to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Please tell them to me. He points them to God. You know, God should be the answer to this. You know, he could be resentful here, but he's benevolent. He could be depressed and sullen, but he is eager and willing to serve. He could be despondent, but he's engaged. He could be inwardly focused, but he has a Godward orientation. He could be forsaken and dejected, but he is hopeful and purposeful. And I ask you today, are you pointing others to Christ even in the midst of your pain, in the midst of your hurting? Fourthly here, We can keep sharing God's truth with others, no matter what that truth is. You saw, you heard the dreams, you heard the interpretations. So the chief cupbearer told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "In my dream there was a vine before me, and on the vine there were three branches. As soon as it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and the clusters ripened into grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and passed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand." And then Joseph said to him, "Well, this is the interpretation. The three branches are 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your office, and you shall place Pharaoh's cup in his hand as formerly when you were his cupbearer. Only remember me." In the midst of all this, he's pointing them to God. He's caring about them. He throws a little plug for himself. "Oh, just don't forget about me," right? Verse 14, "When it is well with you, and please do me the kindness to mention me to Pharaoh, and so get me out of this house. For I was indeed stolen out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I've done nothing that they should put me into the pit." And of course, when the chief baker saw the interpretation was favorable, he says, "Oh, well, I had a dream too. There were three cake baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there were all sorts of baked food for Pharaoh, and the birds were eating out of the basket of my head." You know, he's thinking, well, sounds like the same kind of thing. What's the big deal? What could be a problem? Joseph answered, said, "Well, this is its interpretation. Three baskets of 3 days. In 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head from you." Wow. "And hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. And on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast for all his servants and lifted up his head of the chief cupbearer and the head of the chief baker among his servants. He restored the chief cupbearer to his position, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted them." God had blessed Joseph with this incredible ability to interpret dreams. First, we have the good news to the cupbearer: you'll be lifted up. And the bad news to the chief baker: you're going to die. And even when the news was bad, he shared it. And isn't that how it is with us? No matter what, as we share the truth of God's word with people, we need to tell the whole story. We can't shrink back. We want to talk about God's love and his grace and his mercy all day, right? But we don't want to talk so much about his wrath and his justice so much. And somehow we're trying to put forward a kinder, gentler gospel. We have no need to do that. It's what the truth is, and it's the truth that sets us free. It's the truth is that which matters. Not too long ago, Kathy and I were driving in the Indianapolis area, and we saw a billboard with the verse John 3:16 on it. We thought, wow, that's awesome. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will have eternal life." You notice something was missing? All of you Bibleites, did you miss? Was something missing? What was missing? "Shall not perish." Oh, we can't put that up for the people to see. That's a little negative. Yeah, but that's what's true. Because if you don't have Christ, you will indeed perish, as you'll be separated from him for all eternity. We need to tell the whole story. We need to keep sharing God's truth with others completely and entirely. When you keep sharing the truth, the entire truth to people, we can keep serving others even when we are hurting. Secondly, this morning, we can keep trusting. We can keep trusting God even when we feel abandoned. First of all here, we need to make very clear, God has not forgotten you. In verse 23, we hear some discouraging news for Joseph. Yet the chief cupbearer, what? Did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And so he stays in a few more years. He's in prison longer because these guys don't help him out. Or this one guy in particular who had the story about his ability to interpret dreams. And even though the cupbearer forgot Joseph, God will never forget you. God never forgot Joseph. Throughout Genesis, we've seen God's commitment to remember his people. Genesis 8:1, "But God remembered Noah." Genesis 19:29, "God remembered Abraham." Genesis 30:22, "Then God remembered Rachel." And even though you might feel like God has forgotten you, it is just not true. Years ago when I was in college, we had 8 guys in a singing group, and there was this one guy, his name was Dave, and Dave was the kind of guy who's kind of emotional and had an incredible voice. And the way Dave worked his spiritual life is one day he'd wake up and feel great. Man, God is with me. Yeah, God is awesome. The next day he'd wake up and feel kind of crummy or cruddy. And, you know, where'd God go? God doesn't love me. I'm like, really? Just really depend on how he felt about things, whether God was there or not or something. But that's not what's true. I hate to say it, but here's what's true about what happened to Dave. Dave tried to live his life that way, and he couldn't do it. He totally jettisoned his faith, and he destroyed himself. He's lost. Lost in wanton sin and rebellion. With no recovery in sight. If he'd only held on to what's true. What's true is God will never forget you. He will hold on to you no matter what you're going through. Don't live your life based on your emotions. Base your life on what is true. The fact of the matter is God has not forgotten you. You can keep trusting him no matter what. Even when you feel abandoned. Secondly, God will raise you up at the proper time. And now we look at chapter 41. And the story continues. After 2 whole years, Pharaoh dreamed that he was standing by the Nile. And behold, there came up out of the Nile 7 cows. Now we have Pharaoh dreaming something. And there's 7 cows, attractive and plump, and they fed in the reed grass. And behold, 7 other cows, ugly and thin, came up out of the Nile after them and stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. And the ugly, thin cows ate up the 7 attractive, plump cows. And Pharaoh woke, and he fell asleep and dreamed a second time. And behold, 7 ears of grain, plump and good, were growing on one stalk. And behold, after them sprouted 7 ears, then and blighted by the east wind. And the thin ears swallowed up the 7 plump full ears. And Pharaoh woke, and behold, it was a dream. So in the morning his spirit was troubled. And he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all of its wise men. And Pharaoh told his dreams, but there was none who could interpret them to Pharaoh. Then, mind you, 2 whole years later from verse 1, then the chief cupbearer said to Pharaoh, I remember my offenses today when Pharaoh was angry with his servants and put me and the chief baker in custody in the house of the captain of the guard. We dreamed on the same night, he and I, each having a dream with its own interpretation. A young Hebrew was there with us, a servant of the captain of the guard. When we told him, he interpreted our dream to us, and giving an interpretation to each man according to his dream, and as he interpreted to us, so it came about. I was restored to my office, and the baker was hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they quickly brought him out of the pit. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came in before Pharaoh. Beloved, God knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly what's going on. God knows what he is doing, and we most certainly can and should wait on him. But that will take patience and humility on our part in the midst of the waiting. Peter reminds us, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. You remember Peter, Mr. Deny Guy? Remember Peter who denied the Lord 3 times? He understands this. He's trying to exalt himself and protect himself during that time when he denies Christ. Peter understands, look, what you need to do is humble yourself. Quit being so arrogant and so full of yourself. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you. Because that's exactly what happened to Peter. God raised him up at the right time. Next thing we know, Peter's on the streets proclaiming the gospel in an incredible way as Jesus restored him. Casting all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. He just has not forgotten you. God will raise you up at the proper time. You can keep trusting God even when you feel abandoned. Third this morning, what else can we do? To overcome the bitter years, we can acknowledge. We can keep acknowledging God no matter what we're going through. Well, how do we do that? By giving credit to God. Notice what happens here in verse 15 now. Over and over again, Joseph continues to give God credit for everything. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream and there's no one who can interpret it. I've heard it said of you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Notice Joseph's response. Joseph answered Pharaoh, it's not in me. It's not about me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. This is all about God and what he can do. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, well, behold, in my dream, I was standing on the banks of the Nile. Seven cows, plump and attractive, came out of the Nile and fed in the reed grass. Seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ugly and thin, such as I had never seen in all the land of Egypt. And then the thin, ugly cows ate up the first seven plump cows. But when they had eaten them, no one would have known that they had eaten them, for they were still as ugly as in the beginning. Then I awoke. I also saw in my dream 7 ears growing on one stalk, full and good. 7 ears withered, thin, and blighted by the east wind, sprouted after them. The thin ears swallowed up the 7 good ears. And I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain it to me. Then Joseph said to Pharaoh, the dreams of Pharaoh are one. God has revealed to Pharaoh what he's about to do. He's giving credit to God, isn't he? The 7 good cows are 7 years, and the 7 good ears are 7 years of dreams are one. The 7 lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the 7 empty ears blighted by the east wind are also 7 years of famine. It is, as I told Pharaoh, God has shown to Pharaoh what he's about to do. There will come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt, but after them there will arise 7 years of famine, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will consume the land, and the plenty will be unknown in the land by reason of the famine that will follow, for it will be very severe. The doubling of Pharaoh's dream means that the thing is fixed by God, and God will shortly bring it about. Notice he keeps pointing back, this is about God, this is about what God's going to do. He's giving credit to whom credit is due. Verse 16, verse 25, verse 28, verse 32, over and over again. Is that how you're living your life? Are you living your life in such a way where you're constantly bringing God all the credit? How are you living? Very easy to take credit for things that God is really doing. But Joseph makes it clear that what is going on is all about God. Secondly here, what else can we do? By acknowledging God, by offering good advice to our enemies. Mind you, here's Joseph in a foreign land with a foreign Pharaoh, a foreign leader. Really enemies. I mean, Pharaoh, the Egyptians were renowned for overtaking everybody back in this time period. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning and wise man and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh proceed to appoint overseers over the land and take 1/5 of the produce of the land of Egypt during the 7 plentiful years. This is incredible wisdom from Joseph to Pharaoh. And let them gather all the food of these good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh for food in the cities. And let them keep it. That food shall be a reserve for the land against the 7 years of famine that are to occur in the land of Egypt, so the land may not perish through the famine. And his proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. He's in a hostile land, working with a hostile regime. But Joseph holds nothing back. He gives all that he has from God to even the Pharaoh of Egypt, a real potential enemy. You know, Jesus reminds us of how we too need to love our enemies. Jesus says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. This is how we should be living our lives, offering even good advice to our enemies. Sometimes when we're faced with enemies, we're like, well, that's their problem. I'm not going to help them. But maybe we should love on them, show them the grace of Christ, and point them to God, giving credit to whom credit is due. Thirdly here, what else can we do to acknowledge God? By letting people see Christ at work in us. Did you see this? Verse 38. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God? Is there anybody else like this? And I ask you, can anyone say that about you today? Oh, pastor, you were preaching a minute ago, now you're meddling. When people look at you, they say, you know, I see the Spirit of God in you. It's a tall order, isn't it? Paul reminds us He says, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Jesus himself says, hey, you are the salt of the earth, but if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You're the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Are you hiding your light? Are you hiding his light? Are you still salty? We need to acknowledge God in everything we do, no matter what we're going through. Letting people see Christ at work in us, offering good advice to even our enemies, giving all the credit to God. Lastly, and don't miss this, this is huge. We need to keep waiting. This is how we overcome the bitter years. Sometimes we need to wait, waiting for God's perfect blessing. We can keep waiting for all that God has for us. First of all, as we wait, he will grant you wisdom. Notice the incredible wisdom that God has granted to Joseph. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has informed you of all this, there's no one so discerning and wise as you are. This is a pagan Pharaoh, pagan world leader saying, you know, you are incredibly wise. No one is as discerning and wise as you are. And as you wait on God for his perfect blessing, he will grant you wisdom. Secondly, he will grant you opportunities to serve. I want you now to be over my house, verse 40, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I've set you over all the land of Egypt. We can keep waiting for God's perfect blessing. He'll grant you wisdom. He'll grant you opportunities to serve. Thirdly, he will grant you favor. In verse 42, notice the favor that Pharaoh bestows on Joseph. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring. His signet ring, the ring of power, poof, from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and clothed him in garments of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him ride in his second chariot and they called out before him, bow the knee! Thus he set him over all the land of Egypt. Moreover, Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh and without your consent no one shall lift up hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphnath-Paniah. And he gave him in marriage Asenath and the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. So Joseph went out over the land of Egypt. So Joseph was 30 years old, just a kid, right? When he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went through all the land of Egypt. And during the seven plentiful years, the earth produced abundantly. And he gathered up all the food of these 7 years which occurred in the land of Egypt and put all the food in the cities. And he put in every city the food from the fields around it. And Joseph stored up grain in great abundance like the sand of the sea until he ceased to measure it, for it could not be measured. This is incredible favor, incredible blessing. Why? Because he's just waiting for God's perfect blessing. He's granted wisdom, given opportunity and great favor. Fourthly here, as you wait on him, he will help you. Don't miss this. This is fantastic. This is incredible. Don't miss this point. This is the point of the whole message this morning. As you wait for God's perfect blessing, are you ready? He will help you overcome the bitter years. Really? How so? Notice what it says in verse 50. Before the year of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On, bore them to him. And Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my hardship and all my father's house. Really? Being in jail all that time, sold down the river by your brothers. Remember, thrown in a pit at one point. Falsely accused, thrown in prison. And now, all of a sudden, he makes this incredible claim, God has made me forget all my hardship. And even my father, I'm not even concerned about them. because I've been so incredibly blessed by God as I've waited on Him. When I was studying this, the passage that came to my mind, a little verse out of Joel 2:25, where God says to the prophet Joel, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the hopper, the destroyer, and the cutter, my great army which I sent among you. You know, I know some of you are sitting here and you're thinking, you know, I've got some years in the back there that have been totally destroyed. The locust came and they ate it. There's no way to get it back. But in God's economy, it's different. We can come to a place and have those years restored. Oh, how many times I've offered that for hope for people in my office. I've been trying to help. You mean, Pastor Brad, things can be different? As long as there's life, there is hope. As long as God is at work, which He always is, there is hope. And we can rest in that no matter what you're going through, no matter what prison you're in. You can wait on Him for His good pleasure. I didn't make the promises. It's God who says, I will restore to you the years that the swarming locusts have eaten. That amazes me. And we have Joseph as a witness. He's made me forget all my hardship. But sometimes we can't see that. We can't see it. And that's where we must walk by faith, not by sight. Waiting on Him for His good pleasure. Lastly here, as you keep waiting for God's perfect blessing, in the process He will make you fruitful. Verse 52, in the name of the second He called Ephraim. For God, this is the second boy that was born, for God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Then 7 years of plenty that occurred in the land of Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began to come. So Joseph had said there was famine in all the lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said to all the Egyptians, go to Joseph, what he says to you, do. So when the famine had spread over all the land, Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe in the land of Egypt. Moreover, all the earth came to Egypt to Joseph to buy grain, because the famine was severe over all the earth. He will make you fruitful. He will use you in incredible, mighty ways as you wait on Him for His perfect blessing. And as you continue to seek Him, even when everything seems to be going the wrong way, He will continue to make you fruitful too. Are you waiting on God's perfect blessing? Well, do you remember the illustrations we started with? It was our first house that we bought that the renters wouldn't move out. It was my office building that was slated to be turned into a parking lot. It was my car that was totaled by the little old lady. It was me that got stuck trying to figure out how to raise $500,000 in 2 months for the church that just hired me. It was my wife who was having another miscarriage. It was our dream home that was trashed by the renters just 3 years ago. It was our daughter with the sexually confused roommate. It was our church in Europe that ran out of resources and ended up sending us home 2 years early. It was my blood work that came back all messed up 2 years ago and is now, by God's grace, back to normal. I'm not trying to boast in all this, not in the least. I just know that the only way through all of it has been for Kathy and I to keep trusting in a big God who can handle anything and everything. And He's handled everything in amazing ways. All of us have experienced very difficult seasons in our life. And maybe what you're going through right now just seems like an eternity. And maybe you have a sense of loss or abandonment from God even, or a wasted opportunity. But as Christ followers, we have hope. We can keep serving others even when we're hurting. We can keep trusting God even when we feel abandoned. We can keep acknowledging God no matter what we're going through. We can keep waiting for God's perfect blessing. God has not forgotten you. Serve, trust, acknowledge, wait. This is a recipe for how to overcome the bitter years. Maybe you're going through it right now. Maybe it's on your horizon. Maybe you have it in your rearview mirror. I don't know where you are today. God does, and He knows what you need. Would you please stand with me as we close our service? Our gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your good word to us and the good example. So many of the patriarchs are such hopeless failures, but here we see in Joseph righteousness, wisdom, brilliance. Lord, help us to learn all we can from this man who you raised up for your purposes to bring glory and honor to your name. Lord, there are many in this room who, because of what they've gone through, they've set themselves aside. They're no longer serving anymore. They're kind of waiting, well, if you bless me, Lord, then maybe I'll do something. And yet you call us to keep serving no matter what. Lord, for that person, I pray that they'd be willing to, by faith, step up to the plate and say, yes, I'm available to you no matter what's going on here, Lord. I'm ready to serve. And, oh God, you know the needs of our church. You know the needs in our children's program and our youth ministry or even our choir. There's so much to do, so many hearts and lives to touch. Help us to keep serving, Lord. Lord, there's some who are doubting, wrestling with you interpersonally.
You have no rival. You stand alone.
Lord, I pray that you would.
The heavens worship
for all that you are.
Before your throne, there is
no
one like you.
Anyone we come in contact with,
you have no equal. Your kingdom reigns. Yours is the highest.
So Lord, may we acknowledge
of every name. There is no one like you. Almighty,
Lord,
we're standing in the presence of your majesty. You're holy, you own the sovereign crown of royalty. You're the King of kings.
Help us to learn today what we heard. Lord, we ask that you'd burn these truths deeply in our hearts and our lives that we might walk in a better way, that we might overcome the bitter years, perhaps the years in the past or even right now, or those that are yet on the horizon. They're all yours, Lord. They're all your years, and we entrust them to you. So, Lord, thank you for this time. Thank you for these dear ones here who've endured it. And Lord, we ask your blessing as we go forth on this day into a dark world that we might indeed be salt and light, that we might be an encouragement, that we might see the needs around us and others, even loving our enemies for your purposes and for your glory and with your help. Thank you, Lord. We give you all the praise for your truth today. And all God's people said, amen. Have a fantastic warm day. Stay cool.
You have no right.